Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is Daf Kuf Hei. And once again, let's reorient ourselves. The story begins yesterday with a shlichut that was sent in a letter to Avuah d'Shmuel. And it said over there in this version, we're going to have another version later, that if a Yevama does just the rekika, all she did was she spit at the guy. She didn't take off his shoes. That the halacha is tachalot, which means that she can no longer get the yibum. Why? Because she already did an act of chalitza. Once you do any act of chalitza, she becomes psula, obviously, because of lo yivneh. Shuv lo yivneh. So now we asked yesterday who that would be going according to. We said, well, obviously can't be going according to Rabbi Akiva, because I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. Remember, rekika doesn't even matter if you do a chalitza without rekika. So it would not be ma'akev, because remember that Rabbi Akiva's shita is in the pasuk, that when it says kocha, and remember kocha is always lashon ikuva. We've seen that in many, many places. That when it says kocha, it's only referring to ye'aseh le'ish. Only the things that have to be done to the body of the man, which does not include rekika, it only includes removal of his shoe. So if even in a mokum of the mitzvah, it's not going to be ma'akev if you leave out rekika. Kol shekein, says the Gemara, it would be absurd for to believe that according to Rabbi Akiva, that we would say that if you just did rekika, which isn't even important, for the etzim chalitza, that would be enough to pasul or to the brothers. That was ridiculous. So the Gemara, therefore, must be going according to Rabbi Elazar, Shad, Rabbi Elazar, according to the other gears. Fine. That's what we said yesterday. Today, the Gemara actually wants to examine that assumption, because the assumption, as it turns out, was wrong. And that Rabbi Akiva, even though he says that rekika is unimportant for the actual chalitza, and if you leave it out, nothing is wrong, b'diavad. But nonetheless, Rabbi Akiva would hold that rekika alone is sufficient to passel her on the brothers for yibum. That's where we're holding today. And this is one line up from the bottom of Kuf Dalet Amud Beit. So ask the Gemara. Is your shock and our suggestion yesterday correct that according to Rabbi Akiva, rekika wouldn't make any difference? I'll prove to you that it's wrong. Umiyom Rabbi Akiva rekika lo pasla, that if the Yavama just does rekika to the Yavam, that nonetheless afterwards she can go ahead and get Yibum. That's what you were saying. I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. It's definitely not true. How do I know? Via Tanya. Let's take a look at a braita. And I'm going to prove to you that this braita is going out libe to Rabbi Akiva, and that you're going to see, therefore, that there's no choice but to admit that according to Rabbi Akiva, rekika does pasul, even though it's not an essential part of the ceremony. And if you leave it out, b'diavad, the chalitza would be kosher. That's what we're going to look at today. L'chaim. So mi omer Rabbi Akiva rekika lo pasla v'atanya. Chaltza velorik rakaka. Okay, so now, remember in the Mishnah we had a list of things. What would be the din if you left out one thing and you did the other two things? This is an extension, this braita is an extension of the Mishnah. And what it's doing is, it's giving a list of single things that were done where you left out both other things. And remember that there's three ingredients. There's the etzem act of chalitza, of the shoe, there is the rekika, and there is the kriya. The kriya consists of the yavama saying that me'en yabmi, the yavam saying lo chafatzti lekachta, and then the yavama coming back by the rekika and saying the pasuk again. All this needs to be done on lashon hakodesh, and so on. We saw before that that's why the dayanim have to be able to be makri. She says kacha ye'aseh la'ish asher lo. Right? Okay. So we have three kriyot. So those are the five essential items, basically. Three kriyot, a chalitza, and a rekika. And this braita talks about if she does one thing. So we basically the three main items, kriya, rekika, chalitza, you're one out of the three. So let's say that she does not do the rikika, and she does not do the kriya, and all she does is chalitza of the shoe. So it says over here, chalitzata is kshera at that point, meaning it's totally kosher. She get married to someone she's not even on the shoe. Suppose she just does the rikika, but she does not do chalitza. She does not do the kriya. Over there, the chalitza is psula. Now we're going to bring a proof in a moment. What is meant by that word chalitza psula? Because let's take a look at the third category, which is she only did the kriya and did not do the rikika and did not do the chalitza. Now we have a strange formulation. Ein kan beit michush. There's nothing to even think about. So what are these three dargas? The chalitza is kosher, the chalitza is posel, and there's nothing to even think about. I mean, so obviously there's a difference between saying that the chalitza is psula and saying, well, there's nothing to even worry about. The difference is that when you say psula, it means it may not be a kosher chalitza to get her out of her pickle and to allow her to go ahead and to marry someone out there. It is, it doesn't do that, but it still makes her a sura on the brothers. Because remember, the moment that somebody does a chalitza, that's it. She can no longer get yibam. So that is enough of a chalitza. We say chalitza psula. Okay. That's the way we were treating it yesterday, remember? Now, that means that this braita is clearly saying that chalitza that is only a spitting is enough to passel her on the brothers. Now, yesterday you said that that is impossible to say according to Rabbi Akiva. And I'm going to show you that not only is it possible, but that this braita essentially can only be true according to Rabbi Akiva, okay? And therefore, your assumption yesterday is totally wrong. Now, just please stop for a moment. The pshat that I just told you is Tosfos's pshat. And it's the pashtus of the Gemara that we're comparing the three different languages, kshera, psula, and ein kan beit michush. Rashi, for some strange reason, brings the Gemara in Gittin that gives a general rule, which actually is a machlokas over there in Gittin, that when the Gemara ever uses a general rule, whenever we find the word posel used as opposed to eino chalitza, ein kan beit michush, eino get, there's a big difference. So when we say that is not a get, it means nothing. Even a kohen can marry her. When we say that's a get kosher, she can marry anybody. When we say it's a get puzzle, she can't marry anybody, but she can no longer marry a Kohen in the event that her husband actually dies and now she's available. Same thing is true, says the Gemara there, according to this Mandi Omar, the same thing is true about Chalitza. If it says kosher, she can marry anybody. If it says puzzle, she cannot marry anybody, but she also cannot get Yibam. And if it says eino chalitza, then it means that there's no problem at all. She can even go ahead and marry with yibam. But, I mean, if that's true, as Tosfos points out, there would be no need for the contrast of the three languages that we're using for chalitza. Kosher, posel, and ein kan beit michush, you see. So, therefore, we got two approaches. It's a side point, but okay, it's an interesting point. I'm bringing it up because it provides a basis for a general awareness of the differences in Lashon that is used sometimes that you need to be very careful. So when we say chalitza psula, we say get posel, that should ring an alarm in your mind. Why is it saying it's posel and not just saying it's not a chalitza, it's not a get? Okay, so now let's continue with my proof. Here's my proof. I'm saying that this is dafka, yes, according to Rabbi Akiva. Why am I saying that? Because ask yourself, Mani, who is the author of this braita? You're going to try to tell me that this is Rebbe Eliezer. That's what you were telling me yesterday. This has got to be Rebbe Eliezer. And according to Rebbe Akiva, why would Rikika be a problem if he holds Rikika is not essential to the Chalitza ceremony, Bichlal, right? But the problem is, it can't be Rebbe Eliezer. Because when it says in the beginning, it says, well, if she just did chalitza, and she leaves out rikika, and she leaves out the kriya, it's a kosher chalitza. Now, obviously, that's not Rebbe Eliezer. Because he said in the Mishnah that kocha ye'aseh means every chalik of asiyah. And he didn't bring the last part of the pasuk, kacha ye'aseh la'ish. What he said was, anything that is an act, which is the chalitza and the rekika, as opposed to those things that are not called real acts, which is the kriya, because that's viewed as a not real act, as moving your lips and saying something. It's not really doing something. Like we always say, he talks big, but he doesn't do anything. That's exactly the point over here. Okay, so the kriya, fine. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, chalitza without rekika is absolutely not kosher because it says kocha. Kocha is ikuva. So v'amar Rabbi Eliezer, Eliezer said yesterday, kocha ye'aseh, which means davar shehu ma'aseh me'akev, and rekika is a ma'aseh. So we have no choice but to conclude that this braita is going a little bit of Rabbi Akiva. Okay? And it's saying exactly the opposite of what you said yesterday. And it's saying it's Pshita Rabbi Akiva, and it says openly, Rikaka, if she just did Rikika, without Chalitza, and without Kriya, it says that it is a Chalitza Psula. Now ask yourself, what does it mean when it says Chalitza Psula? That what? That it's Psula, she can't marry a czar because of the fact that she's a Yavamala Shuk? I mean, isn't that obvious? A chalitza where she never even touches his shoe. Now, that's going to be one heck of a chalitza. I mean, it's a joke. Of course she can't get married to anybody. So therefore, when it says over here that it's possible, it's got to be telling me a chinish, right? This idea of the chalitza psula to tell me stam. She's also to anybody, of course. So it must be coming to tell me a chinish that even though you would have thought that according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that the meaning of chalitza does not require rikika, nonetheless, if there is rikika, then the rikika patzels are to the achim. That must be the pshat. Elalav lachim shmamina. So you see that even though I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, the halacha is that rekika is not ma'akev, but if you did just rekika, it is enough to pass it around the achim. Now, you will say that that is something of a contradiction. I mean, either rekika is significant or rekika is not significant. So how is it significant enough to pass it around the brothers, but yet it's not part of the chalitza? I don't understand. How is that consistent? So the only solution has got to lie in a new Gezeira Derabbanan that uses the problem, which will suggest what that problem might be. There must be a problem that made the Derabbanan make a takana, that in the event that there was Rekika, she's Asura to the Achim, but it can't be that Midirai, she's Asura to the Achim if it's not Ma'akev at all, right? Therefore, let's try to figure out what that would be. So what would be the reason that according to Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbanan would have assured her to the Achim? Ask the Gemara. So I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. Maishna Rekika u'maishna Kriya. I understand. According to Rabbi Akiva, Kriya and Rekika have the same status, right? Neither of them are really necessary for the final results. And the fact is, you could have a chalitza just by taking off a shoe. So, if you're going to tell me the Rabbanan insist that any part of chalitza will pasul for the achim, I don't know what the reason would be, but let's say that's true. So why only the part about spitting and not the part about reading? Why, if she spits, will it pasul on the achim, but if she reads, it won't pasul on the achim? That's inconsistent. So now we have three dargas, right? According to Rabbi Akiva, we would have the darga where it's ma'akev, that's only the chalitza sanal. We have the darga where it passes on the brothers, that includes even rekika. And then we have kriya, which does nothing at all. I mean, like, what's the meaning of that? Where would it come from? That's the Gemara's kasha. Answers the Gemara, there is a major difference. The major difference is that when it comes to kriya, we have nothing to worry about and people making an error. But when it comes to rikika, we do have problems of people making an error. And what is that error? So here's the problem. Kriya, remember, appears a number of times during the ceremony, correct? It starts with a kriya, where she says, Me'ein Yabmi, my Yavam refuses to do his duties. And the Yavam then announces Yes, lo chafatzli lekachta. Then after the entire chalitza and rekika, she then says, kocha ye'aseh le'ish asher lo yivneh beit achiv, right? Now, because of that, now here's our problem. The problem is that there are casual views of what's going on in Beis Din. So, although we do not have televised Beis Din activities with sound and so on, we do have people walking by a window or a door and being interested in what's going on over there. So now imagine a situation like this. Somebody walks by the window of the Beis Din and sees that the woman is standing and is making this proclamation. Okay? That's all that he sees. Now, he thinks to himself, gee, I wonder at what point of the ceremony they're up to. Very interesting. Then, the next day, he finds out that that woman actually ended up doing Yibum with her Yavam. So he thinks, well, that's strange. Oh, I guess what I saw yesterday was the woman getting up, saying in Beis Din, my Yavam refuses to take me. The court must have turned, shame I didn't stay. The court must have turned to the Yavam and said, well, what do you say? Well, I've thought it over. Okay, maybe I will. Okay, fine. You know, that can happen. Because remember, they're supposed to be giving him an Eitz HaTeva and so on. All right. So I guess that's what happened. And then she went ahead and she ended up getting Yibum. So he's not going to jump to the conclusion that since he saw her standing and making a proclamation, that means she must have already done the chalitza. Apparently, they stopped at that point. But if he walks by the Beis Din and she is doing rekika, what's he going to assume? Where in the ceremony is the rekika after she already took off his shoe? So if she sees a person walking by sees the rekika, he will naturally assume, oh, darn, I missed the whole ceremony. That would have been cute to see one of those chalitza shoes, you know? And then when he finds out that she went ahead and got yibum, he's going to say, oh, gee, I always used to think you couldn't do yibum after chalitza. I guess you can. And that will cause people to make the mistake of doing yibum after chalitza. So because of that, we make a gezeira about rekika, but we do not need to make a gezeira because of kriya. So it follows beautifully. Okay, so very simple. Kriya dita ben betchila ben besof lo michafale. Where the person has every reason to work out for himself what happened because there's a kriya at the beginning. Okay, so nobody's going to get confused. Oh, she must have gotten chalitza. But rekika, there is no rekika at the beginning. There's a rekika only lebesof ita. So then if he sees her doing rekika, he's going to naturally assume that this was a rekika that was done at the end of a proper chalitza. And therefore, if she does end up getting yibam, he will be matir this chalutza to the brothers. This is the problem. Now, this all started, remember, yesterday with the message that was sent to Avua de Shmuel. And because of that message, we had this entire discussion. Who was it going according to? The fact that it said Rekika, we assumed it was going according to Rabbi Elazar. Today we proved it could be going according to Rabbi Akiva just fine. Fine. Now there's another version. The other version is that the message to Avuah de Shmuel was not what we said yesterday, but rather Ikan Amr Hochi Shochule. What they sent him was that a Yavama who does Rekika should get Chalitza without redoing the Rekika. Okay, so this is a completely different issue. Now it's saying that a rekika that's done at any point in the ceremony, even if it's done at the beginning, is okay to continue on doing a chalitza. She does not need to spit again. So, this actually was very much what happened in a particular case when this woman came to Reb Ami's Beis Din. Now, Reb Abba Bar Mamo was there as one of the Talmidim, and he was learning from Reb Ami. And she walks in, and she is really waiting to spit at this guy. I can't wait. So she doesn't wait for the chalitza. She spits at him as soon as he comes in. Ha ha! So I already did my rekika. I was waiting for this opportunity. Right. So Rikaka Mikamidita Chavot. So Rabbi Ami said, okay, he says to the Yavam, just make sure she takes off your shoe now, and that's all. Get her out of here. Shari La Tigra, meaning don't let her do the spitting again. She's done enough spitting for the day. So Rabbi Abba said to him, well, I don't understand. Aren't you supposed to spit after you do the chalitza? So why doesn't she do the rikaka? Says Rabbi Ami, well, why does she need to do it twice? She already did it once. So what's wrong with doing it with just continuing now with the chalitza? So Rabbi Abba said, well, if the mitzvah l'chatchila is the way it's written in the Torah, why don't you just, does it hurt you that she spits again? What's a big deal? Let her do it again and beyotz it correctly. What's the big deal? Says Rav Ami to her, what's the big deal? That's what happens when you don't know how to think. There's a very big deal. Because if I'll have her do it again, we may cause a disaster. A disaster? By having her spit? Yes. Because listen, somebody watches the procedure, okay, and gets the idea, because after all, Rav Ami Paskin, that even though she went ahead and did Rikika, you have to do Rikika again after Chalitza, okay? Word gets out, therefore, that a Rikika prior to a Chalitza is not considered to be a Rikika at all. Now, Baruch Avram, did we not just say that we have a gezeira that if a woman just does rikika without doing any kind of chalitza, that we have to aser her on the brothers because of the possibility of a passerby? Anybody that just watched what you are saying I should be doing, Rababa, is going to be misled in the event that there is actually shmoo. Yes. There you are. Welcome. All right. The Horaya took 5 shmoos till I got a shmoo. Okay. Don't try to argue. Okay. Anyway. So in that event, you will be ruining our entire takana because people will say, well, I know for a fact that it couldn't be a rikika before. You're telling me over here a rikika before chalitza. That doesn't do anything at all. Of course she can go marry the oven, but she can't. So therefore, I'm not going to say to do Rikika again, because nafak minei churva. This is going to cause a catastrophe. Let's say I should insist that she does it again. So then people are going to make the obvious conclusion. Oh, Rikika kamaita let be mishash. An original Rikika causes no problem, and that therefore, even a yavama that was rokeket is still able to do yibum. Because of that, they will end up being matir, a real chalutza, to the brothers. That's what's going to happen. And that's why they wrote to Avua de Shmuel that she does not do a rikika again, meaning she shouldn't do, not she doesn't need to do, she shouldn't do. So, but wait a minute, says Rabab. Usually when it says kacha, let's say, when we're talking about the getter of chok, so over there we say, if it says chok, it's ma'akev. It includes the seder as well, like we saw by Yom HaKippurim, right? The correct order is also ma'akev. So why isn't the kacha an inyan of the correct order? It should also be included. No, says Rabami, I know for a fact that kisidran is not ma'akev. So now Rav Abba, he thought that he basically had called Rav Ami out, and Rav Ami, I don't know. How does he really know that? So who's Rav Dechuya Kamatkali? He thought that Rav Ami was putting him off. But then he went out and did a check on the internet to see if he can get back to this. And he found out that Rav Ami was 100% right. Nafak. This is a common expression. Nafak dak ve'eshkach. Somebody walks out of the Beis HaMedrash, gets on the internet, is medayik, meaning he goes through all of the different sources, and he finds it, ve'eshkach. Somewhere in Google, he is going to find the fact was that it was true. There it says, beferish, that it is not ma'akev. Where did he find it? In a brayso, the Tanya. בין שיקדים חליצה לרקיקה, בין שיקדים רקיקה לחליצה, מה שעשה אסור. So here it says בפרש, that indeed there is no problem. So, then we had another beautiful story, in which, if you take a look at the Ein Yaakov, it brings the whole story, which doesn't appear in the Gemara, but it's a very cute story. So I think his moker is the Yerushalmi, actually, or Medrash. But anyway, so he brings the whole story, was like this, that there was this little town. This is so common, it's really cute. There's this little town that sends a message to Rebbe, we need a spiritual leader. Could you recommend someone? So Rebbe recommends Levi, right? And so, okay, so they ask for Levi to come out for a trial. I said, always have a Shabbat for the Rebbe, the new Rav, to come out for a trial. Okay. So Levi, by the way, if there's anybody who's interested in a trial, there's a position available in Buffalo. I actually got this message just yesterday. we're having this Gemara today. Can I recommend somebody for a position in Buffalo, New York? I'm sure that you're all jumping up over there. I can see Gershi looking really excited. That's just where I always wanted to go. But anyway, so they're sending Levi out to the boonies. Okay. So Levi goes out, Lekiryata. Lekiryata is like out to the boonies. So he comes and they're giving him his trial. Okay. So they want to see, like, okay, so what would he say about various things? We have a case of chalitz over here. And the problem is that the Yavama has no hands. So she was a thalidomide baby, and how is she supposed to do chalitza without any hands? Maybe could she do chalitza with her teeth? So, okay, so could she do a gidemet? Can she do chalitza? Then they had another problem, which was a yevama who spat, but she had like really serious gum problems, and what she spat was blood. So she's spitting blood. Okay, is that considered to be a rekika or not? Now, Levi has no idea. I mean, for heaven's sakes, I suppose somebody's supposed to have an immediate response to these kind of questions, you know? So they put him on the spot, and he failed. Okay, so at that point, they thought, well, I guess Rebbe sent out a guy who doesn't know anything, but at least he gives a good drusha, so he could probably, you know, make up something. So then they asked him another thing, which was, gave him an opportunity to say something which didn't have to be a halacha. So they said, how do you explain the fact we were learning about Daniel, and the Malach comes to Daniel and says to him, I am going to tell you what is written up there in the sky in a Ktav Emet. Now, what does that mean? Does the Malach have access to a Ktav that's not Emet up in the Shamayim, so that what they have like separate rooms for Ktav Emet? HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps a lot of Ktavs that aren't Emet, and he's going to only tell you the Ktav. What is that supposed to mean? Bichlal deika Ktav sheino Emet. So there's other Ktav that HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes, but it isn't true. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends a lot of time writing novels. I'm not going to tell you any of the novels. I'm only going to tell you what it is that is real. What is that supposed to mean? Levi, I give up. I have no idea. Anyway, so he failed every test. Anyway, we don't have a record about whether he ended up getting the job or not, because in some places that's the only Rav that they'll hire. I mean, he's got nothing to say, so then it's fine. But in any event, we don't know. So he went. He was in pretty tough shape personally. He went to the Beis HaMedrash to find out what, in fact, would the din be. So he said over the three things they asked him, and they said to him, what did you have to even think about? I mean, first, there's got to be a problem. What's the problem exactly? Can you do chalitza with your teeth? Does it say anywhere of the chaltza biyada? First, tell me what the problem is. I mean, you should ask the people. Why not? That's always the yeshivish response. Farvos nisht. You have to say it in Yiddish, that it should sound like a definite psak. And you say farvos nisht, and that's all. Everything's fine. The Rebbe can say it even better. But at least learn a yeshivish farvos nisht. And so since it doesn't say anywhere that she should use her hand, why not use your teeth? And as far as this business of if she spit blood, farvos nisht, does it say anywhere in the Torah that she has to spit pure spit. It just says she should spit. So if she spits, there's bound to be some act of spitting there. I mean, even though she's spitting blood, but there's some roke that's there, isn't it? As far as the question of ktav emet, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have a ktav sheino emet? So it's not a problem. A ktav emet, remember, emet means that it is absolute. And not emet means it's not absolute. It doesn't mean it's not true. It just means it's not absolute. What's the difference between absolute? Can it be changed? If it's absolute, it's not open to change. So where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a gezerah, there was a shvuah together with the gezerah, that is a ktav emet, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change. But a gezerah that was not nishba alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, over there, it can be changed. And that we know, because that we have a limud, an amazing limud on. And that is basically Reb Shmuel Bar Ami, because Reb Shmuel Bar Ami quotes Reb Yonatan as saying, how do we know that a gezardin sheyesh imo shvua she'eino mitkareya? So we know that there was this entire story in which Eli's children were mechalal the Mishkan Shiloh, Chofti and Pinchas, and the pasuk is very makpid about Chofti and Pinchas, and they would take the chelek bal korchom, and they didn't wait properly, and so on. And because of that, there was a gezerah against the family of Eli for all times. But the thing is that gezerah appears in two stages. So first of all, it says, Vayavo ish Elohim el Eli, Vayomer elav, ko amar Hashem. This is the beautiful, Haniglo nigleiti al beit avicha, beyotam b'mitzrayim lebeit paro. Did I come in Mitzrayim to choose Levi? Do you understand the special attention that I did? I do it for this? For these bums of kids like yours? Let me tell you right now. I thought that they're going to be kohanim forever. Yitalchu lefanai ad olam. Now, chalil ali, chas v'shalom. I don't give kavod to people who don't give me kavod. Michabdai achabed ubozai yikalu. And now comes the gezerah. Hinei yamim ba'im. And v'gadati etzroacha v'etzroa beit avicha miyot zaken b'veitecha. There's not going to be anyone that dies old. They're all going to die young. Okay, fine. Now, that seems to say it very clearly, right? But then, afterwards, we have that amazing story of Shmuel hearing a Kadosh Baruch Hu speak to him, you know, and he keeps running into Eli and saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And finally, Eli realizes this must be he's getting an avias. And so he tells Shmuel, next time you hear voices, say, speak, because your servant is listening. Okay, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems for no reason to repeat the whole thing over again. Except the difference is that this time, Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel, it says over there, I'm going to be doing a terrible thing. And I will tell you that lachin nishbati lebeit Eli imit chaper avon beit Eli b'zevach u'mincha ad olam. So what is the additional nevius that is given to Shmuel? That there was a shvuah, and that shvuah is forever. There's no way out of this. And he can never get a kapora with bringing karbonis ever. Which means that his children are going to die young till the end of time. And it won't help for them to bring karbonis. Okay? So that's the Bezevach u'Bemincha ad Olam. So you see from there that there's a difference between the original Gezerah and the new Gezerah. Omar Rabbah, by the way, I just want to make it very clear, says Rabbah, it doesn't say that you can't get out of this. It says you can't get out of it by bringing a korban. That's all that it says. But you could do other things to get out of it, because remember, there's not only Aveda that the world stands on, there's also Torah, Aveda, and Gemilus Chasadim, like the Mishnah says. And Torah is even one up on Avodah. So it's true that Avodah is not good enough to be Mechaper, but Torah is good enough to be Mechaper. So, Bezevach u'mincha eino mitchaper, but mitchaper u bedivrei Torah. Abaye says, you don't have to have one up. You could Torah, Avodah, Gemilut Chasadim. You could have Gemilut Chasadim also. It's not that you have to have something better than both of them will be enough to save you. So, Bezevach u'mincha eino mitchaper, but it's mitchaper b'gemilut chasadim. Now, it turns out that Rabbah and Abaye were both from Beit Eli. And Rabbah's approach was, learn. And Abaye's approach was, do gemilut chasadim. So Rabbah ended up taking on his learning, and instead of dying when he was 18, he lived till he was 40. But Abaye, he figured you got to do both other amudim, so he did both learning and gemilut chasadim, Baruch Avram, and he, no, just that I love you. Oh, that's all I was saying. He's saying, Baruch Avram, now you're jumping to conclusions that I'm being accusatory, chas v'chalila. And he was therefore, zeicha, okay, every eight lines, Rabbanea says, I have to go and drink. And apparently this was a gezera, that it's not enough to have divrei Torah, and it'll never be mischaper unless you don't drink. Huh?
I was walking with Rabbi Katz, Aaron Katz's father, and we met Rabbi Jackson Cohen in Los Angeles on Shabbos, and they had this in-depth conversation. I said, I've never seen a shul rabbi at that level. So Rabbi said he's from the Bnei Eli, and he has to keep learning. That was Matthew Cohen's father.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that is a very interesting story. How come you never told me this before? Did you ever ask me something that I didn't tell you? Says Barnea. That's stuck amazing. Anyway, so Abaye was osik both in Torah and Gemilut Chasadim, so he got an extra 20 years from Torah plus an extra 20 years from Gemilut Chasadim, so he lived till he was 60. And there was a maaseh, Ratan Rabbanu Mishpacha Achat Hayta BYerushalayim, everybody in that family died when they were around 18 years old. So they came to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This is a tragedy. I mean, it's like, what in the world is going on? Amar lahem, maybe, even though you don't know where you come from, maybe this family comes from Beit Eli. And by Beit Eli, it says, in fact, kol marbid anashim, kol marbid betcha yamutu anashim. So, l'chu v'isku betorah v'tichyu. So make sure that everybody is Isaac B'Torah, and you'll see they'll live. Sure enough, Olchu v'asku b'Torah v'choyu, v'ayokorino tam mishpachat Yochanan. So they changed the name of the family, and the last name became Yochanan, because of the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had given them the Eitzah that allowed them to survive. Omer Reb Shmuel Bar Unya, Omer Rav, how do we know that a gzardin against a tzibor is never Nechtam? You can always get out of it. What do you mean? It's never, that's ridiculous. What kind of statement is that? The Beferish Psukim. How about Kim Techapsi Baneter Vitarbilach Borit Nechtam of Aneglefanai? I understand. What are you telling me? Yirmiyahu says Beferish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's quoting HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying it's sealed. Don't even think about it. There's no way out of this, right? I don't care how much soap you use. Obviously, you see that there is terrible gezeres against the tzibur that are Nechtam. Sorry. What I meant was that minayin shafilu nechtam mitkareya, it might be sealed in the metaphor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually stamping it, but it doesn't mean you can't rip it up. You can still rip it up. You don't change it, but you can rip it up. That's what I'm saying. Shenemar mi kashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu elav. Whenever... I don't care what the situation is. There's a way for a tzibor to avert catastrophe. Doesn't it say, and it's not, it's only at special times? Answers the Gemara, as we've seen many times, a tzibor is, and a yachid is, and when is that time, Behimatso, for Yachid? That is Amr ibn Nachman, Amr Rabba Baravua, Elu asara yamim shebein Rosh Hashanah leYom HaKippurim. Anyway, that concludes the second version of the message sent to Avuah the Shmuel. Now, there was another message that was sent to Avuah the Shmuel, which is a continuation of the story of Levi's failure at his rabbinate tryout. And this, according to this, there was a message that was sent to Avuah the Shmuel, which is that a Yavama that spit blood can only do chalitza. So in other words, if there was only a Eureka, and you would think, okay, so then there's no problem. No, there is a problem, because once she spits, as we said before, that she cannot do Yibam. So then, as Tosfos says, first they told him Rikika requires Chalitza as opposed to Yibam, and then they said, even if it's a Rikika of pure blood. So they asked now on that, from the halacha of a zov. So now, remember that a zov has ma'ayanot. The ma'ayanot of a zov are going to be mitame, even if it's mixed with other things, right? So if you have any of his urine or his semen or if it's his spit, it's all going to be mitame. So now the question is, how about if this zov is bleeding from his gums? Now, that seems to be very similar. It's bleeding from his penis. Very similar issue. Do we have to assume that there's going to be some type of other material that's mixed in there that are mayanot or not? It says in the Braita, you might think that if there's blood that is coming out of the mouth of a zov or out of the penis of a zov, mipivu mipiamas tame, Talmud lomar zovotame. No, it's only zov. Not dam. Dam is not a mayan. And ein dam ayotze mipivu mipivama tameh elatahar. But according to you, what you just said is that you said that the Yavama, if she spits blood, is also spitting spit. So there's going to be roke mixed with the blood. So then if there's roke mixed with the blood that the zov is spitting, then that's enough to be metame. So how do you explain the contradiction to Beferish Abraita? No. So it is no contradiction at all. The case over there is that the Yavama was trying to spit, right? So she's motzetzet. She first sucks up the spit, and then she spits it out. So, of course, there's going to be some actual roke mixed in it. Oh, here we're talking about there's blood dripping from his mouth, from his gums. So over there, why would it be mixed with spit? He was not motzetz. Fine. Continuing on now in the Mishnah. So we finish now this sugya. We move on past the Rikika into the next thing that the Mishnah brings up, which is the question of the Cheresh or the Chareshet. Okay, so it says over there, if the Yavam was a Cheresh, or if she was a Chareshet, the Yavama, or the Yavama does Chalitza to a Katan, so then we said it's Pasul. But that would mean that it assers her on the brothers. That's only true according to Rabbi Meir, because he says that, in fact, it's pasul. And we said before that Rabbi Meir actually says that the chalitza of a child is considered to be the equivalent of a get by a gonel. So obviously it's pasul. So that makes sense. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. And according to Chachomim, no, it's not pasul. Ein chalitzat katan klum. That means it's not pasul. It's zero. And if it's zero, so then even the Katan himself would be allowed to subsequently, when he gets older, he can be Miyabimer. Because that Chalitza is meaningless according to the Chachamim. Now, it also says if a child, a female child, does the Chalitza, this is a funny thing. She has to do Chalitza again when she grows up, and if she doesn't, the Chalitza as a child is possible. Omer of Yudah Marav, okay, this is only true alibet of Rabbi Meir. Because remember, Rabbi Meir holds up both a katan and a katana, as he said before, can't be involved in chalitza. And if they are, we know that the katan is going to be passeling, according to Rabbi Meir, as we just said. And because we know that to be true, we also know that there is, according to Rabbi Meir, there is a hekesh of requiring both to be a gadol. And that's why it isn't a kosher chalitza, because Rabbi Meir says, doesn't it say in the posik, ish? It says, Beferish that Lashon, that Im Lo Yachpotz Ha'ish. What does it mean, Lo Yachpotz Ha'ish? You could just say, Im Lo Yachpotz, right? I mean, we know what we're talking about over here, the Yavah. So it stresses the fact that he must be an adult. He has to be an Ish. Now, it's true that it does not say that she must be an adult, but it does say in the continuation of the same pasuk where it says that he doesn't want, it says, Va'altalye vimto ha'sha'ara va'amra me'en yabmi, which basically is comparing the Yavama to the Yavam. So just like the Yavam has to be an Ish, as it says Beferish, even though it doesn't use the word Isha, but it's Makish, the female to the male. And therefore, both of them have to be adults, and therefore, Makshina Nisha Le'ish, this is all Ali Bid Rebbe Meir, Mashenken according to the Chachomim say, look, the only thing that's Ma'akev is that it says that the Yavam has to be a Gadol. But they don't know that this is called a Hekesh. It doesn't mention anything about an Isha, and therefore the Yavama is Ben Gedola Ben Ketana, which means that the Mishnah that says that if Chalit says of a Ketana is considered to be not a good Chalit, so that's only true of the Rebbe Meir Kunin Chachamim, we don't need it. Who, by the way, is the Shita that says this? Can we identify it? We can indeed. It's going Aliba to Rebbe Yossi, and I'll show you that it's got to be Reb Yossi, because Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe were once sitting, and one of them says, Hamit Palel, Tzorich Sheyitein Einav Lemata. If somebody is davening, he has to look down. Now, this doesn't mean he has to look down to the ground at his shoes. It means he has to look on the level in which he's facing Yerushalayim, because it says, Vayu einai velibi sham kol hayamim. So kol hayamim means even b'shas ha-churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitmaked kivayachol in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, what are you looking up to the sky for? I don't live there anymore. I came down and my heart is, you're looking in the wrong place. Hello. Look straight ahead and face Yerushalayim. That's when you're talking to me. Well, it's a little bit ridiculous to look somewhere else when you're trying to talk to me and you think somehow I'm up in the sky. That's crazy. there's actually, the tour takes this very literally, and the Prisha brings that, I think it's the Prisha that brings, almost positive, that the Prisha brings that someone who was Mistaka Lamala, so all the Malachim come around to burst out laughing. Oh, look at this weirdo. Oh, look at him. Yeah, he's looking up at the sky while he's trying to talk to God. Why would anybody think God's in the sky? Okay. Anyway, it's very cute. But I must tell you that not everybody learns like the tour. We'll speak about it in a moment, because let's see the Machlokas. Masha Ein Kein, the other one, either Reb Chiya or Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe, said, no, on the contrary. He should be looking up towards the sky. Einav lamala, shenema nisa levavenu el kapayim el bashamayim. So how can you argue with that? It says, let us lift up our hearts and look up to God in heaven, el bashamayim. Meanwhile, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi goes over. He sees them arguing very vehemently. And he says to them, what are you guys talking about? And so we're being icing and tefillah, and this is what we have different approaches. So Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi said to them, I'll tell you how my father was the Gadol Hador, this is Rabbi Yossi, how he understood the two psukim. He put them together. And he said that both are chiyuvim. Someone who's mitpalel, he has to be tzorach sheyitein einav lamata, but his heart has to be lamala, in order that he should be mekayem both of these psukim. That's the only way that you can properly understand what is going on. So what exactly does that mean? That's the question, that in order to be mekayem both of them. So there is a lot. So again, the parshat way is how the tour understood it, was that, well, in terms of where physically you're looking towards Yerushalayim. In terms of where your heart is and what you're thinking, you're thinking about El Bashamayim, which is, I mean, like, so what does that mean? If the Shekhinah is L'mais in Yerushalayim, why are you thinking about El Bashamayim? Okay, so there's a number of different approaches to this that are not consistent with the tour necessarily, and there's a couple of famous approaches. I mean, one is the Talmid Reb Yonah, and the Talmid of Rabbi Yona, which Lomaisa, I mean, that's on brachas, but the Torah also brings this, which is that when it says that his lev is lamala, it means that he should think as if he is in the Shemayim, meaning he no longer has any interest in Olam Hazeh, and he's not thinking about his comforts in this world and so on. And that the Lashon is the way that we have a Kabbalah. If you want to have Kavona, it's a very interesting way of putting it. Pshot gufcha me'al nishmatcha. Undress your body from your soul. Very, very interesting. The same way you can take off a shirt, you can take off a body and be left as just a neshama. And then after that, then you have to also consider the fact that you're in the Beis HaMikdash. And that would mean that it's ki'ilu hu omed, but it is not talking about l'maisa, where your eyes are looking. Neither of them are. That's how the Rabbeinu Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah learned, that there's two darkas. First, in your heart, it's this way, and then in your heart, it's that way. There's also a gra that also understands it. The idea of yitein einav l'mata means that you should first see and be medayek that everything that you're doing with Lamata, meaning, says the Gro, im brue mata, with those creatures that live on the earth, make sure that you're okay over there before you start walking around in the sky. And that way, al yedei zeh, he says, tiye tefilato retsuya, achar kach libo lamala, rather ima kodesh baruch hu, which means not where you're actually physically looking at all. So it's, I don't know, it's like completely different than the way that it's understood, kipshut, that it means literally where you are facing. Something else. It's a question on both study. It would be how it is that you're feeling. So it could be that the inyan of the malachim laughing at the person, not because of where he's looking, but that when a person, there are people that like they're all, you know, up there in the sky, that they have no, they're not being Mekayim Bichlal, what the Gra is saying. You know, stop being up in the sky before you learn how to say good morning to your neighbor. That kind of thing, right? So that they're laughing about. There could be that there's different interpretations for it. You don't necessarily have to go with the tour. Anyway, meanwhile, now here's an amazing story. Rebbe walks into the Beis HaMedrash while Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi is speaking to them, to Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe. Rebbe walks in. So there's this big tumult. Everybody runs to get to their seats because Rebbe's about to give the shiur, and they're all been talking, and everybody's learning with the chavrusa. You can imagine the scene, right? There's 1,000 people. Everybody's scrambling to get to a seat before they're going to walk in late, and they're going to have to push people out of the way. It was a real tumult. Now, the problem was that Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yossi, was obese. And he could not move very quickly. And he wanted to get to his seat. So he is walking as fast as he can, you know, but that's not very fast when you weigh 496 pounds. So it's taking him a long time to get to his seat. Anyway, so everybody else, Inu David Kalile, all of the people who were lightweights, you know, they could go and jump into their seats quickly. But Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, because he was so heavy, Agav Yukre, he was like basically tiptoeing to his place, trying to get there as fast as he can. So Avdan, so now this Avdan, unfortunate name, as we'll see, but as Tosfos Springs, his real name was Abba Yudin, and we find him. We find him mentioned, as Tosfos says in the Yerushalmi. Says, okay, so here we're using a short form of the name, which didn't bide well for him. This is Marumas in the American president's name as well. So it didn't bide well at all for him. And what happened is, Abdon says, who is this guy stepping over the heads of Klal Yisrael that's so Kaddish? And he's pushing people as he goes sitting. Remember, sitting in the seats was everybody would sit down on the floor. And okay, so who is this guy? So Rabbi Shmuel, that was a tremendous chutzpah to speak to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi like that. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, it is I, Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, and I have come to learn Torah from Rabbi. So the idea over there is that if you're Talmud Chacham, and the Gemara says beferish that the children of Gedolei Hador are allowed to push people out of their way because they can sometimes say over what their father said. So I want to be there in order to make sure that I'm able to say over when necessary the halacha. But you want to say that. So he said it nicely. Good. I want to learn Torah from Rebbe. Really meaning that I may have something to say. So Abdon says to him, well, you are chashev enough to be able to walk over this and you have such gaiva, you're going to have what to add to Rebbe. So you're not even right to do that. Omar Leiser, Rabbi Shmuel says to Abdon, nu, and Moshe Rabbeinu, he was roy to be learning with his chavrusa, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Abdon says, and what, you think you're Moshe? He says, and you think your Rebbe is God? Oh, gosh. So Rabcha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? V'chi Rabcha Elohimu. This was a pretty rough conversation. Now, and well, the worst part of it was that as the result of this bitter conversation, Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi did not refer to Rebbe as his Rebbe. He referred to him as your Rebbe, which Rabbi Yossi pointed out, this was Rebbe's punishment. That Rebbe, because this was an embarrassment to him, and he deserved it. Because, and here Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi calls Rebbe your Rebbe, not my Rebbe. So why did Rebbe deserve that? Because the moment that Avdon opened up his mouth against Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rebbe should have jumped up and said, how can you talk like that? But he didn't. So in not standing up for the covet of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, he was punished with this embarrassment. Fine. So Rebbe got his smack across the face for this. Anyway, so meanwhile, while this is going on, a Yevama comes in to Rebbe asking for Yibum. So she was a child, and it wasn't clear that she was old enough for Yibum. So Rebbe said to Abdon, go out and check and see if she is old enough. Does she have pubic hair? So puk batka. So Avdon starts going out, and Rabbi Yishmael says to Rebbe, excuse me, sir, but Abba, my father, Rabbi Yossi, said that it says Ish, but it doesn't say Isha. And that's the sheet. Here's how we find out that this was the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, that she doesn't have to be at already pubescent in order to do Yibum, because she could be a child. Isha ben gedola ben ktana. So Rebbe shouts to Avdon, Omaleg, never mind. Ta, come on back. Lo tzrichat, we don't need a bedika of her because kvar hora zaken. Rabbi Yossi, who was the zaken of the door, he said that it doesn't matter if she's a ktana or not. So Avdon was stepping over people to get back to his place. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, let me tell you something, boy. Misha tzorich lo am kadosh. Yifasal roshi am kadosh. So somebody that the holy people needs, like me, who is quoting my father Rabbi Yossi, to, as you could just see, that we just averted an issue over here in the Beis HaMedrash that people would have wrongly concluded that you have to be a gedola. A person like that has the right to step over the heads of the people on the floor. Who are you? You weren't needed for anything, but how is somebody, Misha Eino Tzorech Lo Am Kadosh, Eich Yifasal Roshe Am Kadosh? So Rebbe shouts out to Abdon, stand where you are. Don't walk another inch. Okay. So there is Abdon. And he says, Kum beduchtech. Now, at that moment, Abdon got tzaras on the spot. His two children drowned, and his two daughter-in-laws ended up doing miyun to be mevatel kiddushin with his kids. And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said he should be grateful. Brich rachmana dekasfila Abdon b'hai alma. Baruch Hashem, that Abdon went through this hell, because if he would have waited until after he died to be get an einesh on how it is that he spoke to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, it would have been a hell of a lot worse than what he went through in this world. So this is one of the mamorim that the Chofetz Chaim brings in the Dinim of Lashon Hara, that you see he was nitzareya because what he said had a Din of Lashon Hara. And furthermore, the drowning of his children is kineged, like the Gemara says, someone who speaks Lashon Hara is misasei ba'askara. Askara is choking to death. So drowning is choking. And he was talking about Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, who was the child of Rabbi Yossi. And so his children, therefore, were the ones that were nenash in terms of his dibur. And therefore, do not make the mistake of thinking that Lashon Hara is when you're whispering in someone's ear about someone. You say something like what you said, then that's Lashon Hara. But you're saying now in public that you're not right to learn from, what are you, crazy? If you would have said that in private, you would have understood immediately it's Lashon Hara. Now it's not Lashon Hara. It's horrible Lashon Hara. So people like, they think there's two completely different worlds. That was Lashon Hara, and he got Saras on the spot. Well, Mirabami, but meanwhile, we can see from here something very clear. We can see from the Godel Hador Baribi, namely Rabbi Yossi, that a Kitana can do Chalitza the moment she is the age of Pu'utot. Now, Pu'utot means something like the idea of toddlers. Lamaisa, the idea of Pu'utot is a Takona D'Rabbanan, that children of the age of 6 or 7 years old are able to engage in buying and selling. It's talking about real estate, buying and selling. And that way they're able to make a living. And so this was a takana d'rabbanan, even though midiraisa, you know, somebody could come and say, well, I bought the property, I changed my mind. That would be a disaster. And they can't be oisik in real estate. So they made a takana. So because the din of chalita is nogea money, and so, okay, so we give them that age. Mashen Ken Rava says, no, it's much more similar to a neder, and the deer of a neder is only within 1 year of her being a gedola, because you need to have a kavana for her to be actually osik in the courtroom to be able to get her rights. And because of that, we're talking about a kavana for the mitzvah of chalitza, like we said, that just taking off her shoes, not chalitza. So in order to be makir, what it is that you're doing, in the same way she could make a neder and it would be chal, if she knows of what she speaks. Same thing is true over here. And the halacha is lemaisa, we're machmer like Rabbi Meir, that she does have to reach puberty. Ad shetavi shtei sa'arot. That would be the case. And chalitza bishnayim. So the Mishnah, this was the closing of the Mishnah. So if you did, we had the question in the Mishnah, it says you're supposed to be chaletz with three dayanim. And according to Rav Yehuda, you will recall, we opened up the perek, he requires five dayanim. So Omer of Yosef bar Minyumi, Omer of Nachman, even though it says at the end of Chotz B'Shnayim, it's possible, Reb Shimon and Reb Yochanan and Sandler said that it's kosher. Now, Reb Yosef bar Minyumi, quote Reb Nachman as paskening, in halacha kotozo. So we don't go like that. We go alibet a Tanakama, and the Tanakama said you have to have three dayanim. Now, the question is that this issue already came up at the very beginning of the perek, right? I mean, like, why are we now discussing whether the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan and Sandler, and Rabbi Nachman had to paskin that no, we need three. We already said that in the beginning of the perek, because Rabbi Nachman said over there was Rabbi Yossi bar Minyumi, quoted Rabbi Nachman, where we had in the first Mishnah the question of is it three dayanim with five dayanim, and over there Rabbi Nachman said chalitza b'shlosha. So what's the point? No, it's a big point, because there's totally different meanings in the context of the psak of Rabbi Nachman at the beginning of the perek and here at the end of the perek. Why? Because let's say we only knew this halacha that we need the three over here. So I would have said, okay, when he's saying this, it means that the halacha is we need three, meaning lechatchila. It doesn't say anywhere that if it was bidi avad, that two wouldn't be good. But that's why we need our Mishnah, because just the paskin that you need three doesn't tell me it would be possible. But over here, where it says that there is a shita that holds it would be kosher, which was exactly all that it says over here, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan Sandor say it's kosher, it's masher. They don't say to do it lechatchila. So now it's telling us, no, it's actually pasul b'diavad. And therefore, he comes along to say, ein halacha koto asug ela ketana kama. Fine. So that's the pshat, that it would be pasul. Now, let's say he told us, he just said over here, this halacha. He just said, ein halacha koto asug. So what would it tell us? The halacha is not like them, but it's like the Tana Kama. So what does that mean? It would still mean that in terms of the machlokas of whether you need three or five, when it says over there that the halacha over here is like the Tana Kama, how do I know that that doesn't mean b'diavad? If you used three and not five, so then it would be okay. But lamaisa lechatchila, you need five. That's why I need the psak for the mission at the beginning, where they say the halacha is like the Tana Kama, that you need three, which means you don't need five. The question of whether we have an additional two for presum of the milk, that's a different issue. But in terms of the dayanim, we have now both piskei halachas. There's no inyan to have five, even lechatchila. And b'diavad, there's no way to do with less than three. So it's two completely different issues. Now, the last thing that we had was the story of Rabbi Akiva, where over there, there was a maisa. It says there was a maisa where they did chalitza alone. And what we understood was that they were in prison, because that's what it says over here, right? They were in prison, and they asked Rabbi Akiva what would be the halacha in this case, where it was only between the two of them, and Rabbi Akiva paskened that it would be okay. Now, the question is, how do we know that it ever happened? I mean, isn't that a problem? Somebody comes along and says, I did. Forget about the question whether it's kosher, but we have to know that it took place. So if somebody wants to come along and claim that a woman that we know was in a matzav of Isser is now ksheira to get married to anybody, I mean, how do we know that there was a chalitza? Because she says so. I mean, why would that be enough? Don't we need testimony? So, beinola veina miyadana. Now, note, gentlemen, that the question over here, we're going to be talking about this later today. It doesn't say over here, doesn't chalitza require edus? That's not what it says. Remember, if it was a kedushin and there were no edim, we wouldn't have asked, how do we know? We would have asked, how can Kedushin be mitkayemet without Adim? Because over there, it's part of the din of the Kedushin. Why are we only asking, how do we know? This is a completely different question. We're going to be talking about that, because the implication is that Adis is actually not an essential part of Chalitza to be mater her the way that it would be where we have a get, we have a Kedushin. Over there, the whole kiyum of it is alpi edim, not just to find out about it. Okay, to be discussed. So answer is Rabbi Yudah Mer Shmuel. No, we know about it because we have witnesses that saw through the window. Now, this is perhaps just the equivalent of a video camera. In other words, we need to know that it happened. Okay, so we know that it happened. That means they weren't present at the chalitza itself, correct? Okay, so now, how do we understand the story? Now, this is a little bit of a problem. Apparently, our girsa in the Mishnah is not the accurate girsa, because the Gemara wants to know, what does the Mishnah mean? Does the Mishnah mean that the two of them, the Yovam and the Yavama, were locked up in prison together and nobody was allowed to get there? And then they said, we did chalitza just between the two of us, but there were no dayanim. Or does it mean, no, the event took place somewhere or other, whatever, in Central Park, right? And then they sent the message to Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Akiva was in prison. That we know. In other words, when we hear the words in prison together with Rabbi Akiva, we immediately think, oh, in other words, they sent the Shaila to Rabbi Akiva when Rabbi Akiva was in prison. Now, the gears that we have in our Mishnah makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? I mean, that they were in prison. That's what it says. So Tosfos says that there's a different girsa in many of the girsos of the Mishnah, in which it doesn't say Uba Maaseh Lifnei Rabbi Akiva. It says Bebeit HaAsurin Ba Maaseh Lifnei Rabbi Akiva. So therefore the question was whether the word Bebeit HaAsurin was a reference to prior, meaning the act happened in the Beit HaAsurin, or it was a reference to Rabbi Akiva. So that then it says in the Beit HaAsurin Ba Maaseh Lifnei Rabbi Akiva. That was the question. That's how Tosfos brings it. In any event, which one is it? Is it that Ba Maaseh Lifnei Rabbi Akiva Bebeit HaAsurin and the act happened in Central Park? Or is that the act happened in prison? Or Dilma Maisa Shekholtsu Ben Ola Ben Abba Beit HaAsurin? And the answer of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav is that in cases like this, and there's many psukim like this, as the Rishonim bring, that in Lashon HaKodesh, the grammar allows you to put the defining case in between so that it goes both prior and subsequent. So there was a maisa that they did bebeit haasurin, and therefore the bebeit haasurin ba maaseh lifnei Rabbi Akiva, in a different bet where he was locked up. And in fact, the story over there was how did they get the story to Rabbi Akiva Bichla? How could they have asked him? So the story is, as Tosfos brings, the story is that they couldn't get into Rabbi Akiva, so they stood outside, and underneath the window of the Beit HaAsurin, they dressed up as a Arab that was selling things in the street. And he was standing underneath the window of Rabbi Akiva, and he said, "Man boy machatin, man boy tzinorin, chaltza ben olavin amau." And so Rabbi Akiva, whoa, what was that? Chaltza ben olavin amau. So Rabbi Akiva sticks his head out the window, and he says, "Hey, eat lecha kushin? Do you have any spindles?" So he heard, "Oh, Kushin, Kshirim." Okay, so he went and said, Rabbi Akiva said, "Kshirim," right? Okay, so that was the story. In any event, so it turned out that it was basically the two.